As we enter a time of prayer this morning, I want to call your attention to the two prayer quilts. On your way out of the sanctuary, please tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card, and let them know that we're surrounding them with love and prayers, and we'll surround them with the quilts as well. Now, will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Glorious God, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. For all that you have given us, we bless your holy name. You have created all things, and you are the ruler of everything that exists. We praise you. We offer you our lives in faithful service. Enable us to seek your will, lest we fail to realize what we can learn through your grace. By your greatness and strength, secure us. By your love and faithfulness, protect us. By your wisdom and power, direct us in all we do, so that we may proclaim your wonderful works to all who wish to see. Reveal your goodness to all who cannot attend today. Strengthen and sustain them. Teach us how we can best support and encourage them. To encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. To understand that their time of need, your love is always there for them. To help them understand that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. Lord, our world needs your love more than ever right now. Natural and man-made disasters like the fire in London, the mudslides, avoidable accidents which take the lives of our children, and intentional deeds which take our loved ones from us. We need to encourage and assist all those who suffer and those in despair. When Jesus appeared to the disciples and offered them peace, we learned about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that fills our lives with your love and your hope. Oh God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all you give us, even when we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you as we offer to you our concerns and petitions in this time of silent prayer and meditation. In times of need and doubt, the disciples went to Jesus for comfort and for strength. May we remember from the disciples that Jesus is our source of comfort and strength as well. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he said, "Pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Our scripture lesson this morning is from Romans chapter 13. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bruce. Before I begin, I do have a commercial of sorts. We are offering some summer classes. There are a number of short-term four-week classes, and you have an opportunity to sign up on your connection card, and you'll find them in the folders which are in your pew, and then there's some in the back. And the reason I bring this to your attention is, especially on page four, George Lewis and I are offering a four-week class in faith sharing, and Bruce is offering a four-week class in Hollywood Jesus, finding Jesus in the movies, and those are coming up. And one of the reasons that we're doing this is we've heard from people who are away during the winter that they don't have an opportunity to take any kind of classes or small group opportunities usually during the summer. So we've expanded summer offerings. So my hope is that you'll prayerfully consider being a part of a small group or a class during these summer months. With that, I invite you to pray with me. Lord, let the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this week we have we've gone to the movies again. Back in March, we asked congregation members to vote on their favorite movies so that we could look at those, and we had them in categories animated and sports movies and epics. And so through the month of June until next week, first Sunday in July, we're talking about animated films. We've already talked about The Lion King and Beauty and the Beast, and Toy Story is one that got a ton of votes from people, and so we certainly wanted to connect with this one. I'm not going to be talking about Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3 and all of the spin-off things. I'm just doing Toy Story 1, the central part. And I think that Toy Story exemplifies this about the movies. When we go, we can enjoy all that goes on in a movie, and we can enjoy the artistry of constructing a movie and the camera work. We can even, in this day and age, enjoy the technology, the way sound is done and the computer-generated graphics and how movies are put together. But when we sit and consider and really dig in, we find that movies at their best have larger themes that touch the human condition. And so those themes can be good versus evil, or the triumph of love. They touch our hearts in the things that we fear and the things that we hope for, our aspirations and our disappointments and our struggles in life. And we can find those overriding themes in whatever genre a movie that we watch at its very best. This last week, I went to the movies George and I did, and we saw Wonder Woman. And not that I'm going to do any spoilers for those of you who are going to see this, but it's in the trend right now of comic book series, and it's an origin story of Wonder Woman, and and of course it sets up for a sequel at the end, but everyone knows it does that. But it was interesting last Sunday. I saw the movie last Saturday. Last Sunday, a parishioner came to me and said, "Did you see Wonder Woman? I just saw it yesterday." I said, "I saw it yesterday too." And she said, "There are some pretty important themes running through that." And I have to agree that, yeah, usually you can take a movie and you can find some of those themes that underlie, that it talk about the human condition. So what we're going to do is look for a moment at a Toy Story. And this is a 1995 film. It's another one of those older films, but it's a film that continues in popularity and has timeless themes. Now, for those of you who maybe need a refresher, haven't seen it in a while or haven't seen it at all, this is just basically the film, is that we are introduced to Andy Davis's bedroom full of toys. Okay, and the toys come to life when Andy isn't around. Woody, who is a cowboy action figure, is Andy's favorite toy. And in that place of honor, for example, Woody gets to sleep on the bed. All the other toys are like in the toy box or on the floor, but Woody's up on the bed. In that place of honor, Woody has kind of a leadership role among all of the toys. And then Andy's birthday comes. And this is a great concern to the toys because they want to know what toys are moving in because it'll change the dynamic there in Andy's bedroom. And so the toys are introduced to a new character, Buzz Lightyear. Buzz Lightyear is an action figure as well. He's a space ranger. And so what ensues are problems with this new character and this new dynamic. And, I will just say there is all kinds of trouble and things work out and it's a buddy movie, all right? Just with toys rather than guys. But I want to show you a clip of Buzz meeting the toys for the first time so you get an idea of where this theme is going.
Buzz, who goes there?
Don't shoot!
It's okay.
Friends.
Do you know these life forms?
Yes. They're Andy's toys.
All right, everyone, you're clear to come up. I am Buzz Lightyear. I come in peace.
Oh, I'm so glad you're not a dinosaur.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Now, thank you all for your kind welcome.
Say, what's that button do?
I'll show you.
Buzz Lightyear to the rescue.
Oh. Hey, Woody's got something like that. His is a pull strength. Only
it sounds like a car ran over it.
Oh, yeah, but not like this one. This is a quality sound system. Probably all copper wiring, huh? So, where are you from? Singapore? Hong Kong?
Well, no. Actually, I'm stationed up in the Gamma Quadrant of Sector 4. As a member of the elite Universe Protection Unit of the Space Ranger Corps, I protect the galaxy from the threat of invasion from the evil Emperor Zurg, sworn enemy of the Galactic Alliance.
Oh, really? I'm from Play School.
And I'm from Mattel. Well, I'm not really from Mattel. I'm actually from a smaller company that was purchased in a leveraged buyout. Well,
You think they've never seen a new toy before?
Well, sure. Look at him. He's got more gadgets on him than a Swiss Army knife.
Please be careful. You don't want to be in the way when my laser goes off.
Hey, a laser? How come you don't have a laser, Woody?
It's not a laser. It's a little light bulb that blinks.
What's with him?
Laser envy.
All right, that's enough. Look, we're all very impressed with Andy's new toy.
Toy?
T-O-Y. Toy.
Excuse me, I think the word you're searching for is Space Ranger.
The word I'm searching for, I can't say, because there's preschool toys present.
Getting kind of tense, aren't you?
Oh, Mr. Lightyear, now I'm curious.
All right, so you get the idea of what's brewing. Woody is upset because it looks like there may be a toy that's going to be taking his place. And what's more, even more frustrating, is that the guy doesn't even know he has a toy. And so Woody works to keep him in his place, and it gets kind of frustrating. And it's obvious that Woody works out of jealousy. Now, I think that we can understand that, and maybe you can think of a time when there has been a change in your life, and you start to feel that jealousy towards something. I looked into the letter to the Romans, and I thought to myself, this is a group of people, this church in Rome, that would really understand Woody's feelings if they understood what a cowboy action figure was or what a movie was or what toys were. But anyway, the letter to the Romans was written by Paul about 50 years after Jesus died and rose to life. And in that letter, Paul does a few things. The first thing he does is he introduces himself because he justifies his leadership because he hasn't come to Rome, but he's planning to go to Rome, so he wants to do that. But he's also heard word that there are some disputes in the church. And he's used to that, because what Paul has discovered is that the churches that he established in the Mediterranean area, as he left them, disputes arose. And when you read the letters that Paul wrote that are collected in our New Testament, you often find that he is addressing an issue that has to do with conflict in the church. And often the conflict is about how does the church come together when there are newer people in the church and there are older people that have been there from the very beginning, and how do they get along, especially if they come from different cultural differences? How is everyone honored? And so what Paul does is he begins by introducing himself, and then he goes on to talk about how the people in Rome need to behave toward each other. He talks about some of them being strong in the faith because they've been around a while, some being weak in the faith, but what he means is that they're new to the faith and still learning. So in chapter 12, he says, "Let the love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." As we've heard in chapter 13, he goes on to explain that it's important that we are a people in a church gathered together as one. He says, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature." In chapter 13, he talks about being a good citizen, kind to each other, following commands, and living an honorable life. As he begins chapter 14, he says, "Welcome all the Lord's followers, even those whose faith is weak. Don't criticize them for having beliefs that are different from yours." He's looking for what might unify them and keep them together. Now, if we were going to put it in today's language, we might say Paul was writing, you know, it's not about you. It's not about you. It is about unity in Christ, because Paul believed that if we can identify ourselves as unified in Christ, that there will be strength and we will act as a church in powerful ways and we will carry Jesus' message forward. Now, Pixar came out with Toy Story in 1995, and it was a remarkable movie. Even if you don't follow animated movies, and I have to say, I didn't raise children, so I don't have a lot to do with these movies, this one was remarkable. It was the first feature-length film that was produced by Pixar, and it was the first film that was completely computer-generated images. Over 1,500 scenes, all computer animated, with an amazing depth that went beyond even the stunning images that Disney had been able to hand draw with teams of people before that. And so the shadow and the dimensions and the texturing were just amazing. So Pixar made a name for itself immediately with this incredible artistry in the movie. But I would say even more than that is what happened to the character. Now, when Pixar was developing this film, they started showing test reels in 1993, just a couple years before the movie was released. And so when they started, they had this idea they would portray Woody as pretty much a jealous tyrant, and that that would be his central character in the movie. And what they found in the test viewings that they did is that at its best, Woody was found to be unlikable, and at its worst, he was a jerk. And people walked away from the test clips saying, "We don't like this character at all." So they went back to the drawing board and they said, "Okay, so what do we need to do with this guy?" And what they did was they made his character more likable, but gave him very human flaws. Someone who could be swayed by their own insecurities And I think that it was that decision that turned this movie into something that could be very compelling for all ages. Because for all of us, we're all pretty good people, but we're flawed. And we can have our behavior sometimes driven by our doubts, our self-doubts, and by our fears. And so this movie comes with all kinds of layers of messages for us. There's certainly the theme of jealousy running through it, the development of trust and friendship, but there's also struggles with loss and purpose in life. And I would say primarily, I'd like to talk about today, primarily identity. And the struggles that we find are that question of who am I, or am I really what I think I am? And if I'm not, who am I? And the fear that goes with that. I believe that the people in Rome struggled with the same thing. And after Paul had, in chapter 13, given some very specific directions on how to live in community and to identify as Christ, he says this in chapter 14, if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. It is incredibly important to understand that our identity begins not with how we interact in relationship with the world, but our identity is founded in that understanding that we are the beloved of God and that we are unified in that way. So imagine the identity of Buzz Lightyear and Woody. For Woody, he had been the top toy. Andy's name was written on the bottom of his foot. He was the beloved, and every adventure that Andy had Woody as the starring figure. For Buzz Lightyear, his identity was not of a toy, but of a space ranger, one who had a great mission to live out in the world. But there comes a time in the movie where both of them are critically challenged with that identity. And so I want to set up the next scene that I show, and this is what's happened, is Buzz Lightyear has finally discovered that he is a toy. Now imagine what that must feel like, to go from space ranger saving the world and from all of the galaxy to being a toy. And so Buzz is in a deep funk and hardly able to speak. On the other hand, Woody, who has in his jealousy put Buzz Lightyear's life in jeopardy and then tried to save it, and they've been through all kinds of problems, he continues to understand that he is not who he thought he was, the top dog, the leader, the good guy, the winner of all battles. And so you have these two people that are struggling with their two toys that are struggling with their identity, and they find themselves together in crisis. Now their crisis, and I'll just set this up, is that they are at the next door neighbor's house of the toy destroying child named Sid. So you're going to see Sid sleeping in a bed. And Woody is trapped under a milk crate and cannot get out. And Buzz Lightyear has a real rocket taped to his back. And Sid plans to launch him in the morning. All right.
Hey, Buzz! Hey, get over here and see if you can get this toolbox off me. Oh, come on, Buzz. Buzz, I can't do this without you. I need your help.
I can't help anyone. Why, sure you can, Buzz. You can get me out of here, and then I'll get that rocket off you, and we'll make a break for Andy's house.
Andy's house? Sid's house? What's the difference?
Oh, Buzz, you've had a big fall. You must not be thinking clearly.
No, Woody. For the first time, I am thinking clearly. You were right all along. I'm not a Space Ranger. I'm just a toy, a stupid, little, insignificant toy.
Whoa, hey, wait a minute. Being a toy is a lot better than being a Space Ranger.
Yeah, right.
No, it is. Look, over in that house is a kid who thinks you are the greatest, and it's not because you're a Space Ranger, pal. It's because you're a toy. You are his toy.
But why would Andy want me?
Why would Andy want you? Look at you! You're a Buzz Lightyear! Any other toy would give up his moving parts just to be you. You've got wings! You glow in the dark! You talk! Your helmet does that whoosh thing! You are a cool toy! As a matter of fact, you're too cool. I mean, what chance does a toy like me have against a Buzz Lightyear action figure? All I can do is...
There's a snake in my boots!
Why would Andy ever want to play with me when he's got you? I'm the one that should be strapped to that rocket. Listen, Buzz, forget about me. You should get out of here while you can. Buzz, what are you doing? I thought you...
Come on, Sheriff. There's a kid over in that house who needs us. Now let's get you out of this thing.
Yes, sir!
All righty. So there's this amazing shift in identity. For Woody, he comes to understand that he's not going to be able to do this alone, that he has to admit that this guy he thought was his rival all the time can be a team member, and in that amazing things will happen. And you can go back and watch the movie to find out what they can do together. And for Buzz Lightyear, it's amazing. What he realizes, I think more than anything, is that he's loved. And that power of love moves him to do incredible things. I believe that if we choose to put our identity in Christ, not in all of the places that the world would place our identity, that amazing things can happen. Henry Nouwen, he was a Catholic priest, but just an amazing writer, very thoughtful man in the 20th century. And he wrote this: spiritual identity means we are not what we do or what people say about us, and we are not what we have. We are the beloved daughters and sons of God. If Paul could have told the churches that he established or the church in Rome anything, I think this is where he would have gone. Is that if we can identify ourselves as first and foremost the beloved children of God, that amazing things can happen. I would suggest that if we can identify in that together, unity can do powerful things. If we're identifying ourselves there, then we're not comparing and competing. The jealousy and anger and hatred can be diminished. If we're unified in identifying ourselves as the beloved people of Christ, imagine what we can do moving forward together. If we're identifying as the beloved of Christ, then when we look down the street at other denominations, we're not comparing ourselves as winners or losers. We're saying, you know what, we're all in this together, and we need to encourage each other. When we are identifying together as Christ, no matter what buffets our world, it's not going to shake us. And the changes won't be so devastating that we can't handle them, because running through it is that love of Christ. I want to offer you just a challenge this week. And sometimes I give you things to think about. This is a kind of a physical thing I invite you to do. We all have identities. And I invite you at some point, you can start today. You know, you could start like during the service. You got a piece of paper in your purse or your pocket. I invite you to write down all of the things that you are. And so some of them are pretty easy. You know, son, daughter, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, grandparent, parent. You might put down something that you do, that you're a crafter, you're a knitter, you're a woodworker. Those kinds of identities. If you're in the workforce or you still are kind of have your hand in somewhere, you might say your identity in whatever your work field is. So you just write down, and my guess is you could just do tons of those, right? Just write them all down. And then here's the crazy thing I'd love you to do is just put a big circle around that, and then get one of those big Sharpies or just write, like press firm, and write across all of it, beloved. All of it. Just write beloved. And then over the next few days, keep that somewhere where you see it. Just so that we can enforce together that we are the beloved of Jesus Christ. I invite you to do that as a challenge, just to kind of cement that identity that Christ gives us. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, you know all that we are, and you know of the places where we struggle in doubt. And we are thankful for your ever-pressing message that you love us and call us to a life that is larger than ourselves, that is greater than we can be by ourselves. And we ask that you help us to claim that identity today and every day. Amen.